It's Tuesday morning, May 19th, 2020, in New York City.
This is Smile Says, a podcast presented by me, Smile from the Lower East Side. I hope you enjoy the program. Thank you for listening.
So what's up, everybody? I have some good news to start with. My mom got her results back from her COVID-19 test, and the test was negative. So that's some good news there. I just have a couple of quick corrections and clarifications. One, when discussing WWE earlier, I mentioned that Cesaro was beefing with Matt Hardy, but that's incorrect. He's actually beefing with Jeff Hardy. Matt Hardy is no longer in the employ of WWE. I simply misspoke. While we're talking about Cesaro and Jeff Hardy, I just have this one other thing I need to get off my chest real quick. On Sunday's Money in the Bank pay-per-view event, these guys were facing off in their match, and at one point, Cesaro actually licked his finger and wiped it on Jeff Hardy's forehead. The idea is that he was trying to remove Jeff Hardy's face paint, but, you know, all you're doing is potentially spreading COVID-19. I mean, that was a real dick move. Like, seriously. The other thing was, I mentioned that I taught a creative writing project to kids. I didn't mean to suggest or imply that that was my profession. I'm not an educator or teacher by trade. I'm actually a volunteer with an after-school program during the year. I also do summer programs. When the lockdown happened, all of those things got canceled, of course. So
I'll talk more about that another time.
Right now, I like to talk about some shit I haven't even used yet. Quibi, or Quibi, or Quibi. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. It's spelled Q-U-I-B-I. And if you don't know what that is, it's a new streaming video service started by Jeffrey Katzenberg. The biggest selling point of Quibi is pan and scan video, basically. If you don't know what pan and scan video is, you might be too young to remember the old style TVs that weren't wide. They were square shaped. When widescreen films, you know, like Ghostbusters or Indiana Jones or James Bond or anything shot like in Panavision, the real like 2:35:1 wide aspect ratio would air on television, they would be cropped to fit a 1:33:1 aspect ratio screen, your square television, and they would pan and scan around in the video to show whatever the engineer doing the job thought was important to show. Usually, the creative people, the director, the writers, etc., none of them were ever consulted on the pan and scan process. That was left to whoever was in the home video division of the distributor of the film. The modern difference with Quibi is that the creators are directly involved in that process, since that's one of the things the content is designed for in the first place. The shot composition is dependent on the orientation of your device, and Quibi is using a technology that they call turnstile to automatically compose the frame depending on whether you rotate your device vertically or horizontally, and you can even do it while watching the video. They are actually being sued by a company called Echo, E-K-O, which they claim, Echo, that they developed the technology and showed it off to Katzenberg and some other people during a demo, and that's when Quibi saw it and basically lifted it. That litigation is currently pending. They just filed that suit in March of 2020. The other big selling points of Quibi were cutting edge back in, like, the turn of the century, you know, around the year 2000 when I was pitching them to investors. And I'm not trying to say that Quibi stole anything from me, but the rest of the industry grew up and already developed what Quibi did. Let's break it down. So Quibi is built on bite-sized videos that are less than 10 minutes in length, which seems like an arbitrary number they pulled out of YouTube's original platform launch back in 2005, you know, where YouTube had a lot of specific reasons why they limited videos to 10 minutes. I'm not going to get into that now, but it seems like Quibi did it just because YouTube did when they launched. And it's like, hey, look at these dopey YouTube videos that kids are watching for no money. If we actually put some money into this, boy, we'd get them to come and pay all sorts of dollars to us. But there has been other attempts at this before. Sony did it with Crackle about 10 or 12 years back. They launched a couple of serialized films that they broke down into, you know, 5 to 10 minute chunks that they aired on their Crackle platform. And Crackle was originally an app for mobile devices. And some of you might remember Angel of Death, which starred Zoe Bell. And the other thing was John Heder from Napoleon Dynamite starred in something called Woke Up Dead. Woke Up Dead was another serialized thing that Sony later edited into feature length just as a 90-minute thing or whatever and put it out on Crackle and other services. Apple, back in around the time that YouTube launched and Apple was dipping their toes into selling video online, which was around 2006, they also had some short films that they were giving away in the iTunes store with some big stars. One of them was a film called Deal Breaker, which I believe Gwyneth Paltrow either produced or directed. Another thing was Hotel Chevalier, I think it was called. I'm not even sure I remember, but it was like a Wes Anderson thing that was notable mostly because Natalie Portman bared her ass in the movie. That was basically like Natalie Portman's first nudity, and it was free on the internet because that was so cutting edge, right? Back in 2005. And while I'm sure that Apple doesn't really want to admit this, the fact of the matter is Natalie Portman's bare ass drove a lot of people to their iTunes store in the early days and got a lot of attention there. They don't want to admit that because they have an image of wholesome family entertainment, I guess. They would never exploit a woman's bare ass to make a buck. So mobile streaming video has been done in the past. It's still being done now. But what the content producers realized is that people want to watch stuff on a TV. They don't want to watch it on their phone. Even if they shot a video of their own on a phone, they want to watch it on a TV. That's why they invented AirPlay and Chromecast and all of these other technologies, so people can easily stream content from their small device to their large device. Why would you want to watch something on a 7-inch screen if you have a 70-inch screen at home? Even now, short-form video content exists elsewhere on other sites, not just YouTube. Disney Plus has a bunch of shorts that they put up from the archives, and they're also still producing new content. They recently put up a couple of Maggie Simpson short cartoons. CBS All Access jumped into the short video game a couple of years back with Short Treks, which were little 10-minute episodes designed to flesh out the world of Star Trek Discovery. All of this short-form content is available to be watched on television, or I can download it and take it to go on my phone. These are all things that other platforms have been doing for years, and Quibi's trying to sell it now, like, oh, look at this new cutting-edge stuff, and you're not fooling anyone. As far as the turnstile feature, where the image automatically reframes itself when you rotate your phone, you can do that manually now. With most platforms, if you're watching a widescreen video and you rotate your phone so that the screen orientation is vertical, you can generally double tap on the screen and the video will zoom in to fill the screen. And of course, the sides of the video will be cropped. Some apps will let you pan and scan manually yourself with your finger. The only thing cutting edge about that is that the phone does it automatically, and they're being sued for their one unique feature. And that's the last biggest problem with Quibi. There is nothing unique about it, not even the programming. I suppose they have some original content, but none of it seems very compelling. it's not likely to be very timely also. For example, Apple TV Plus recently premiered a collection of Fraggle Rock shorts that follows the Fraggles as they're all separated like we are, and they have group chats over Doozer Tubes where they share what's going on, they do sing-alongs, Traveling Matt shows a little bit about what's going on in, you know, outer space, if you're familiar with the program and who these characters are. But it's a lot of fun, and they're little 5-minute shorts. Common is in one of them, so there's some guest stars going on, and they're current and they're timely. I don't know if I can say the same for the programming on Quibi. It doesn't seem very timely. The most high-profile thing that Quibi has on offer that I'm familiar with is the Reno 911 reboot. And that was a series that ran on Comedy Central, you know, 15 years ago. They had an R-rated movie in 2007, so I don't know how much appeal that's going to be to young people who may not even remember it, and who may not be the suitable audience for it. Don't get me wrong, I love Reno 911, and so does my mother. When she saw the ads for Reno 911, she got real excited. And then I explained to her how she'd have to watch it, that she'd have to download an app, sign up for it, pay for it, and then she wouldn't be able to watch it on TV. She'd be stuck watching it on her phone. And she was just basically, fuck that shit. Anybody who's ever paid money to watch something on their big TV is not going to pay money to then watch something on a phone. That's not a selling point at all. Quibi is blaming COVID-19 for the currently slow adoption rate, and there may be some truth to that because it was originally designed to be enjoyed on the go and not while you were stuck at home. But even if COVID-19 wasn't going on, they'd still be competing with Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, YouTube, WhatsApp, Twitter, Facebook, and those are just some of the free ones, you know. There's still, you know, Netflix, Hulu, Prime Video, and all the other better established pay options as well that they'd be competing with. By limiting access to your phone, you're also competing with everything else specifically on a phone that normally, like, you wouldn't compete with, like, every piece of music, every game, every book, every app, every function. And sorry, Anna Kendrick and your sex doll, I just got challenged on Words with Friends. I might have stuck around if you bared your ass, because I can't see that on Disney Plus. You know, here's something else ridiculous that I read. You have to share your location with Quibi in order to see Steven Spielberg's offering, because he wants you to watch it at night. Only at night, like HBO in 1981. The ridiculous shit is that the CDC is trying to develop an app to help track the spread of COVID-19 in order to mitigate the pandemic. But Apple and Google, they don't want to share the location data, right? Because they cite privacy concerns. But meanwhile, they have no problem sharing that data with Quibi to enforce some asinine viewing restriction, because my head could explode if I don't watch their blipverts at the designated place on the designated time. Scanners is rated R. It contains nudity, violence, and James Woods. Viewer discretion is advised. HBO will show this movie only at night. You know, speaking of 80s HBO, I got a blast from the past I'm going to talk about after I cut this quick promo. Give me about 30 seconds. So I'm real excited about this new 4K release of the movie Rad that I just pre-ordered. I should be getting it in a couple of weeks. It's being put out by a company called Vinegar Syndrome. They put out a lot of cult and esoteric films and things of that nature. They also have some t-shirts and other merch. You can search for their website. And I'm excited. I've been waiting about 25 years or so for this, because the movie was never available on home video beyond VHS. And after the 80s, it didn't really air on cable or television either, because there were some licensing issues around the soundtrack. So I guess those have all been cleared up, because I've seen the soundtrack at least like on iTunes music store or whatever. And anyway, I love this movie unironically. I truly love it. It's one of my favorites. Some of you are probably thinking, isn't that about the kid that does a backflip on his bike or whatever? And yeah, that happens in the movie, but that's not really what it's about. What it's about is the conflict between varying socioeconomic classes as gentrification engulfs a small town, leading to corporate influence marginalizing the disenfranchised locals in favor of privileged outsiders. Boy, that sounds a lot like Westworld, doesn't it? Well, you can file Rad under the most influential shit you haven't seen, because there's no X Games without this movie either. Right now, I would play some audio callouts to help jog your memory as to what this movie was, but I don't have them because I haven't received the movie yet. So, you know what? I'll just go ahead and do them myself. You're sacrificing your whole future for a bicycle race. You think your brother's so cool? He's nothing next to Bart Taylor. So, the paperboy thinks he's a pro. Can't we give a local boy a chance? He's such a nice boy.
Who is that kid? I don't know. But who's he ride for? I don't know. What do you mean, oh no? It's your job to know. Find out.
Nobody screws me best. You know, you could have shown some respect and at least waited until I was finished dancing. Hulk Hogan, eat your heart out. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's all dialogue from the movie as far as I remember. Ken Loach sure as hell didn't make this one. It was directed by Hal Needham, who, if you don't know, was a former stuntman. He's best known for directing Smokey and the Bandit, The Cannonball Run, and Megaforce. So he may not be cut out to direct the drama or the comedy aspects of this movie, but he sure as hell knew how to film the action, and the action looks great. There's also a couple of Latinos in this, not necessarily in the cast, but as part of the stunt team. In fact, Rad is probably the only movie I can think of in which the stunt team actually has like a roll call in the middle of the movie, like right before the big like stunt action sequence, like we're all in this. Like imagine if you saw Smokey and the Bandit Part 2, and before all the truckers got in the desert to wreck shit, they all lined up and said, hey, how you doing, boy? My name is Big Jim I can't even come up with a name. My name is whatever, Rubber Duck. That's a total other movie. But anyway, back to Rad. Like they actually like call out like all the stunt guys, like right before the big race, which is, you know, different, except for, you know, Jose Yanez, who was the guy who actually doubled for Crew Jones, the main guy, and did the backflip in the movie that everybody remembers. At the time, he was the only guy in the world who could do it. They found him in Ringling Brothers. Well, I don't know if they found him, but, you know, he might have found them. But he was doing that in Ringling Brothers as part of a bicycle stunt show there. And he wasn't like a BMX, competitive BMX guy or freestyler. He was a circus performer. And the other guy that's interesting note is Lori Loughlin's in this. And of course, you know, she doesn't do her own BMX riding. Of course she doesn't do her own athleticism. Eddie Fiola was her stunt double. He's a legendary BMX rider, and he's currently a stuntman and does motorcycle stunts for a lot of guys in films like The Bourne Legacy and How to Be a Latin Lover. You know, a lot of people run down this movie, and I think they're basically, I think they're snobs, let's be frank. I think they're snobs. I mean, this is no Bicycle Thieves, but damn, it's entertaining, and, you know, it's simple and it's fun. I think your appreciation of it depends on how closely you identify with it. If you come from a privileged background, it's real easy to thumb your nose at it. But if you come from, you know, like a background I came from, well, it's wish fulfillment because the man always sticks it to you. So it's great to see Crew and his friends stick it to the man. I really can't wait to see this. I haven't watched it in years. I should probably buy a 4K player. I guess that would help. Well, I'm going to wrap it up for now. with this episode, I realized that I've fallen behind a little bit. They started up construction again in New York City. I guess they're reopening things in phases, and phase one was construction. As a result, there's a lot of banging going on during the day. It's difficult for me to record, so I'm going to see if I can hopefully get the next episode out either later today or tomorrow, possibly, because I already know what I'm going to talk about. I was planning on discussing it a bit here. Basically, I was going to discuss the upcoming film release scene, how that looks, some of the factors or rationales that might be going into which films get pushed back, which films see an early home release, which films go to subscription streaming services, what gets sold versus rented. I'm going to offer my perspective on all of that. Till then, thank you for joining me. Hopefully I'll have the next episode up tomorrow or maybe later today, hopefully, if I'm lucky. But you can subscribe or follow, depending on where you get your podcast. It might say subscribe, it might say follow, but that way you'll be notified when the next episode is up. Again, thank you for listening. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Just keep on flowing, because running water never goes stale. This was for Absent Friends.
You have just heard an episode of Smile Says. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed it, perhaps you would consider making a donation. While this podcast is free, I rely on support from listeners like you in order to, well, live, quite frankly. You can show your support by going to anchor.fm/LowerEastSmile to subscribe, share it with your friends on social media, make a financial contribution, leave an encouraging voice message, or all of the above. Once again, that address is anchor.fm/LowerEastSmile. Finally, here's some legal stuff before you go. The views expressed on Smile Says are those of the respective individual commentators and do not in any way represent the opinions, viewpoints, and/or beliefs of any company, organization, or legal entity. Except where otherwise noted, the preceding audio program is copyright 2020 Smile from the Lower East Side. All rights reserved. So there.